Hi, and welcome to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we talk with patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals and do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. Dr. William Breitbart is the chairman of the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, where he's been for 37 years. Breitbart recently spoke on the Cancer Straight Talk podcast from MSK about the impact on mental health brought about by the COVID-19 world. In this episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast, Breitbart discusses the toll the pandemic has had on patients, survivors, and caregivers, and ways for them to manage their stressors. What have you seen as far as the effect of the pandemic on the mental health of cancer survivors?
Well, I think that obviously, as you've stated, the pandemic has been a very stressful period of time for everyone. And it's been stressful in different ways for different populations of people, for young people, for older people, for people with medical illnesses, and for people with cancer and various stages of cancer, cancer treatment, advanced stages of cancer, and cancer survivorship. Some people have flourished during the pandemic. I would say those are the people who like to be alone, like solitude, and are very productive in that space of solitude. But I think for the most part, it's been very stressful period of time for just about everybody. Lots of anxiety, lots of sense of restriction, a lack of a sense of normality, a lot of interference in social interaction and sources of social support, which are so important to living a human life. So I think that there are two elements that I've seen that have been difficult for cancer survivors in particular. One is that restriction in terms of normal life from the perspective of social interactions. People have been unable to get the benefits, sustain the benefits of normal human social interaction, particularly with good friends, with family members, sometimes with children, parents, siblings, grandchildren, etc. And one of the things we know about human beings is that in order to be able to sustain a sense of oneself, one's identity, to sustain the essence of who we are, that requires the ability to sustain a sense of meaning and value and purpose. They're very much related. And so one of the main sources of meaning in life and the ability to sustain the essence of who you are comes from these sources of connection. Connectivity, connection to people that you love, things that you love, being connected to others, to family, to people in the community, to things like art and beauty and nature, and to be connected to something outside of yourself that's greater than yourself, like your work, things like that, things you care about, or even religious practice, etc. So all of those things have been terribly impacted. But I think the most overwhelming source of distress and psychological distress for most people, and particularly for cancer survivors, is the fact that this COVID pandemic has really intensified what I would call death salience in our everyday lives. And by death salience, I mean a constant, relentless, unavoidable awareness of our mortality, the threat of death at any moment. And so this death salience produces what I would call death anxiety or death terror, but we don't always experience it. I think what cancer survivors have in common that differentiates us, because I'm a cancer survivor as well, what it generates for us is somewhat unique, because all of us who are cancer survivors have had the experience of being diagnosed with cancer. So we have, in a very visceral way, learned this very important lesson in life, which is that human life is finite and that we are mortal and that bad things can happen, life-threatening things can happen. So for cancer survivors, death is more real and more difficult to deny and avoid. And so during the pandemic, this enhanced death salience that bombards us from almost every moment, from wearing the mask to being restricted in your social interactions to turning on the TV and hearing how many people have COVID and how many people have died, it's inescapable. And so what it produces is this sense of really intense death anxiety. And this anxiety gets experienced by us, by cancer survivors, as anxiety, sometimes frank panic. A lot of my patients are experiencing panic every morning when they wake up and they realize, oh my God, I'm starting another day being quarantined at home, living in a world of danger, and the reality that death is like around the corner and it's on the TV and it's right outside my door. So it can be experienced anxiety or can be experienced as anger, and sometimes anger that's directed towards yourself, depression. It has a multiple manifestation. One has to be able to distract and deny death to some degree to be able to get up and go out and do stuff to live. Hopefully, you know, we're very advanced, sophisticated human beings that we can utilize the idea that death exists. And so death is the most important lesson to teach us the value of living life fully every day. But here we are in this pandemic and we can't live life fully every day. So it's a catch-22.
What about patients who are in active treatments? What effect have you seen on those patients?
I've actually seen two things. I've seen patients really struggling immensely with going through treatment during COVID, especially in the early days. It still persists now. You know, the inability to have their family members or somebody really close sit with them through chemotherapy, which is often the case pre-pandemic. Now that they're alone and maybe they're on the iPhone with a friend or a spouse or someone who's out in the parking lot somewhere parked on an iPhone. So it's that intense isolation and the sense of going through the treatment unsupported. But I've also seen a very interesting phenomenon, which is that a lot of folks who are immunosuppressed have had to live in a world where they've had to be cautious about infections and viruses and things like that. And I'm thinking particularly of some of my patients who've gone through bone marrow transplantation and things like that. And I'm working with one family, a couple, where the husband has a bone marrow transplant for leukemia. And he went through a transplant, and he's about a year and a half, 2 years post-transplant. And what they've told me is that they've lived the pandemic life, the life of being wearing masks and not going to restaurants and not interacting with people, you know, being frightened every moment. So these are people telling me that, you know, everyone's living a pandemic for the last year, but I've been living it for 3 years. Grounds them down even more so. And so they're completely depleted. On the other hand, I've had some patients tell me, you know, now other people understand what I've lived through during chemotherapy, wearing a mask. So now when I go to the market and I'm wearing a mask, I'm not the only person who's wearing the mask. Because before, when I would go into a supermarket wearing a mask, everyone would stare at me like I was some kind of alien. You know, so they've actually felt a little bit normalized in the sense, but I've heard a lot more about it's prolonged the and made even more frightening the experience of being immunosuppressed and having to be very careful with masks and social distancing and hand washing and things like that. So it's just more danger.
So what are some ways that patients with cancer can reduce their anxiety while still staying safe from exposure to COVID?
I think the first thing is to understand that they are going to be more anxious and to normalize the fact that they are very anxious, because it is a very anxious time. I think that oftentimes our patients suffer unnecessarily from the expectation that they have of themselves to be able to be a perfect patient. I have to cope very well and I have to think positively all the time in order to have a good outcome. And so I think the first thing that patients should probably understand is that it's actually normal to be more anxious right now during the pandemic. That's your brain's normal response to danger like this. And the way to cope with anxiety is to A, understand that it's real, and develop an attitude and perspective towards the anxiety. And so it's all a matter of choices, how to choose. So do you choose to focus on the anxiety, or do you choose to not focus on it, limit that or avoid it? Do you choose to start to distract yourself and engaging in activities that allow you to experience not just the anxiety and the dread of life, of, you know, death salient? I won't get too philosophical on you, but there's a great philosopher in the 18th century named Kierkegaard who talked about the fact that once human beings realize that they exist, they're overwhelmed with two experiences. The experience of awe. Isn't life beautiful? There's so many beautiful things in life, love, nature, art, connection, things like that, and dread, all the terrible things that happen in life, including death and the fears of death and things like that. So you can choose to focus on the dread, or you can choose to pursue experiences of awe and meaning, right? And so that may be watching your favorite shows on Netflix or learning a new skill that, you know, you've always wanted to learn. And that's what I think probably two of the most important things for patients to be aware of and that they can do. And then I think it's probably always helpful to do a little bit of deep breathing and exercise, meditation, calm yourself, take it easy. Don't be so hard on yourself. Don't have enormous expectations.
From what you've seen, has the introduction of several vaccine options had any effect on improving people's mental health?
I think people are feeling hopeful. I think people are starting to feel a bit freer. I think that they're starting to do things like visit family, allow family to visit them. I still think that people are taking an abundance of caution, because especially our cancer patients, because they're a little bit more wary and they're taking it slower. They're not ripping off their masks right away. As patients were starting to get vaccinated, I think I started to see a lot more hope, a lot more optimism.
As far as caregivers who are caring for a patient with cancer, what effect have you seen the pandemic have on them?
I think it's been a very difficult time for caregivers. And we're very interested in caregivers at Memorial Sloan Kettering. We have a special caregivers program, a caregivers clinic, and my laboratory, which is a psychotherapy lab in our department. We've developed novel interventions for caregivers, which we've studied and we apply in the caregivers clinic. But I would say that this has been an extraordinarily difficult time for caregivers, because there's been no break from caregiving at all during the pandemic. Basically, caregivers tend to be either people who live with someone who has cancer, and so the caregiving is continuous because people have been isolated together. And then there are caregivers who live separately. There might be an adult child who's a caregiver for a patient. So the opposite is happening. There's a sense that I can't be there enough. And I have to kind of do the caregiving at a distance, and I can't supply all that's needed for a person I love who's got a cancer experience. And then I think the third thing is that caregivers are like our cancer patients in the sense of they too have learned this lesson in a very real way, that life-threatening things can happen because it just happened to my spouse or my child or my parent, etc. And so those of us who are caregivers have been experiencing the anxiety and the death salience and the depression and the irritability and the anxiety of the pandemic itself. And so caregivers are struggling themselves and may not have the same level of resources available in terms of what they need to be able to give to the people they love with cancer as a caregiver. So this concept of caregiver burnout, I think, has been probably more acute during the pandemic.
What advice do you have for caregivers in this position?
It's similar to the advice to the patients or cancer survivors. I think they have to be a bit kind to themselves and a bit forgiving. Forgiveness is very, very important in human existence, because all of us are actually quite imperfect and we have to deal with what we have to deal with. So it's the idea of being a little bit more forgiving and a little bit of kinder to ourselves. I think that's my main advice to both patients and caregivers.
What are some resources that patients or survivors can look into to improve their mental health?
if you're a Memorial patient on our portal, we have a whole array of resources for cancer patients and for the caregivers in terms of coping with the pandemic. And hopefully other medical centers have similar such resources. And I think organizations like the American Cancer Society and the National Cancer Institute, et cetera, there are probably a lot of resources, things to read, advice, et cetera, from those organizations, from city, state governments, et cetera, also putting out those kinds of things. And then I think there's a lot of opportunity in the digital world, you know, to get access to digital apps that allow you to learn how to meditate or how to breathe, how to relax. And I tend to actually search YouTube quite a bit and look for videos around breathing for relaxation and dealing with anxiety and things like that. Often very helpful resources on instructional YouTube videos. So those are the kind of things that I think people can take advantage of, those kinds of resources.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.